The term surrealism often conjures images of a melting clock in a painting by Salvador Dali, or a man in a bowler hat with a green apple in front of his face, as in the painting by René Magritte. These images were created in the name of freeing the unconscious, and they were intended to shock. The Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York is showing one of the first major surveys of the genre in two decades. The exhibition includes works by artists who called themselves surrealists, and by many who did not. David Darcy reports.
Like Impressionism, which is now a term to describe almost anything from movies to interior decoration, surrealism has become an everyday term to describe anything weird or disturbing. Timothy Baum is a poet and an art dealer in New York who specializes in surrealism.
On September 12th, the word surrealist was used in every newspaper report of that unbelievable series of events that occurred on the preceding day, because anything that is unbelievable, that's shocking, somehow there's a surrealist element. King Kong, you know, up on the Empire State Building, that was one of the most surrealist images of all time.
Even surrealists like the photographer Man Ray avoided a rigid definition. In a 1997 PBS documentary, he said the tricks of today are the truths of tomorrow.
I never think about art. And I don't think the old masters ever thought that they were creating art. They had to express the spirit of their times. They would start to invent. And those were the surrealists of their time. Every period had its surrealists.
The word surrealist was first used when the poet Guillaume Apollinaire described a Parisian stage set designed by Pablo Picasso in 1917 for the ballet Parade. In 1924, author André Breton codified it with a manifesto that laid out strict rules for its followers. He decreed that art should be created for art's sake in the name of freedom and condemned representational art and religion. A Man Ray photo montage of two female nudes, one silhouetted in black, the other gliding horizontally like a plume of smoke, is on the cover of the catalog for the Metropolitan Museum show called Surrealism, Desire Unbound. Curator William Lieberman knew many of the artists whose work he's showing.
Desire, libido, whatever you want to call it, is really the key to surrealism. It's absolutely central, and therefore, of course, cannot be ignored. Desire, as mirrored in the exhibition and by the artists themselves, is always male desire. It's very, very seldom female desire. It is said that men are more sexually aroused by images, and women by words. Whether or not that's true, I don't know.
Surrealists thought this desire was expressed most honestly in dreams, and in paintings that reproduced a world of dreams, like Joan Miró's Constellations of the early 1940s, which filled the skies with body parts, or Salvador Dali's landscapes in which human figures sprout animal appendages, or an empty table stands in the desert. Dreams are the basis of Timothy Baum's show of surrealist erotica at Ubu Gallery, around the corner from the Met. The show is called Behind the Surrealist Curtain, Sin, Sensuality, and Silence.
Silence is a very strong pervading factor in surrealist art, because the artists almost want you to be the one who makes the noise and not them. So the fact that they use the dream state so much as a source of inspiration, they're sort of frozen moments, or that they are in delicate moments or very, very private moments. And all of these facets of life tend to coincide with silence and less conversation or sound.
In the 1932 Picasso etching at Ubu Gallery called Model and Surrealist Sculpture, an academically drawn female nude stands alone in a room with a collection of shapes that form a body. A solitary Picasso nude standing by the sea from 1929 at the Met is a figure of geometric blocks with a ball on top of a pyramid for a head. Marcel Duchamp's bronze casts of private parts are also on view at the Met. Neither Picasso nor Duchamp called himself a surrealist. An Alberto Giacometti sculpture called Woman with Her Throat Cut from 1932 looks like a giant scorpion. Giacometti was drummed out of the movement because he said he wanted to draw the human head. By the time World War II got underway, the Nazis created horrors that shocked the surrealists. Those who could fled to the United States, where their movement lacked the star power it once had on the left bank. Curator William Lieberman.
they were no longer cohesive as a group and they went their separate ways. Breton, the Pope of Surrealism, and he could baptize new members. He could also excommunicate, and in the beginning, whether he accepted an artist or a writer or not was important. After the Second World War, it really didn't matter.
Yet their influence was still enormous. Jackson Pollock began making abstract paintings while working with the surrealist André Masson in the 1940s. Pollock's 1943 painting, Pacify, at the Met, is a canvas crowded with his own hieroglyphs and other figures that appear to be chiseled into the canvas. By the 1950s, Salvador Dali was designing dream sequences for such films as Alfred Hitchcock's Spellbound. Dali became an advisor to fashion designers, and surrealism reached the consumer masses, violating its founder's rules. Posters of Dali's work and that of René Magritte became fixtures in dormitories and dentists' offices. Yet dealer Timothy Baum is finding that surrealist work that's out to challenge the viewer remains too much of a challenge for most collectors.
We will sell most of the works in this show to institutions and to very specific interested collectors, but I don't think we're going to see anybody under 40, you know, writing a check. And yet there are certain works in this show that are quite inexpensive. A few thousand dollars, well within their budgets, but not within their intellectual budgets. And that's the problem. The education isn't creating this kind of collector.
There are plenty of opportunities to learn. Besides Baum's, there are gallery shows all over New York. And besides the Met exhibition, there are museum shows in Boston and San Francisco. For NPR News, I'm David Darcy in New York.